Please rise for the Pledge of
Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. If there's not any additions to our agenda, I would consider a motion to approve the agenda as stated. Got a motion and a second. I'm assuming there's no opposition. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Need a motion to approve our previous minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Is there any discussion on that? If not, I'll signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Now we're on to Billy, Road and Bridge. If you'd like to come update us in Rio Verde, Mike. Good morning, guys.
Morning. You guys got my activity list. We're just kind of tolling snow removal and plowing and hauling snow. Nothing new really has come up in Road and Bridge. I do have, I sent out an email, I don't know if you guys seen it, about Sam Summerall.
Yes.
He's with Environmental Services. He's got a system that reuses water, you know, and he's doing a demonstration. We're going to take some trucks over there, and he's going to wash them and show them tomorrow at 2, and he was hoping some of you guys would show up. And it's right there at the...
I'm having a really hard time with that.
At the airport, you know, airport lane.
I know Mac has said he could go. Cool. I unfortunately am going to be out of town. Doug, I don't know if you've been
there. Well, I have intended on being there. It looks like the weather would allow that. So okay. 2 good. O'clock is a good time for me. Anyway.
Okay, good. So great. Hopefully we can have two of us.
Great. Okay. And waste management, we're just, you know, it's kind of slow right now. It's our slow time of season, but everything's going good over there. It's about all I got. Mike's got a couple of things.
Yeah, just an update on Trapper's Point. Dave Bolchek stopped into the office last week, and he's got the cultural study done and approved with the BLM. So that was quite a long process. The next step is just for the BLM to complete their NEPA EA process, which we have the rest of the winter for. So I'll be contacting Tracy Hoover in the next week or so, just to kind of get an idea on timeline on that. And I guess the next question would be how, you know, assuming we get that all done and we have the right-of-way in place, is this something that the county is going to construct, you know, Road and Bridge, or would it be go out for proposals? I didn't know if that was decided yet or if that needs to be decided at this point or not.
I don't know. We haven't decided about it. I know when we talked about it, my recollection was it was not going to be that much of a project and something that could be done in a very short period of time.
I think we were leaning towards business.
And I think if everybody's agreeable, we'll just let Bill and you.
The old plan was Road and Bridge was just going to do it.
Yeah.
So it should be quick, too.
Yeah. I think that would be the best thing to go, move forward with that.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, the day that I was at that meeting, Butch wanted to do it that day.
Yeah.
And could have had it done that afternoon.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't have had to worry. But, so I was under the impression that the county was going to do that.
Okay. So I think we're on the same page.
Yep. Sounds good.
Okay.
Just a couple other quick updates. I know Eric's moving pretty close with the Cottonwood Phase 1 project, getting it ready to come out to out for proposal. And Paradise as well, the erosion control project. There's some meetings back and forth with the Game and Fish as one of the landowners. We've got the core permit to do the rock work, but we're still trying to work through some negotiations with MOUs with the landowners, Circle 9 and Game and Fish. So I'm going to brief Billy on that, and by the next meeting we should have everything ready to go, or options for the commission on how we put that project out. So
okay. That's one we really need to get done, because that could really, the whole road could go pretty, you know, it's keeps getting worse each year.
Yeah.
So it's a priority.
It's a priority, yes.
Okay. Is that along the river? Is that
where it's right when you turn on Paradise there and go across the cattle guard, yeah. that whole bank where the river comes is just undermined, and it's some spots it's already got to the road, but I mean a really bad, you know, runoff or something. like yeah, it could, the road could go. So
I don't have anything else right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any questions for Mike?
Not for Mike, but for Billy, Mr. Chairman. Are you done crushing at the Harrower pit?
No, just, we haven't been crushing the last week or a couple weeks, because it's just, we've just been so cold, and it takes us so long to get the oil warmed up, and so once the temperatures come back up a little bit, then we'll go back.
My question there is I'm not sure where the project is with the underpasses and the fence,
right,
and all of that between here and LaBarge, but we have, you know, our commitment.
Right.
We're not even sure what that was, other than we agreed,
right,
to do some in-kind stuff, but we have enough stuff there.
Oh, yeah.
In that pit.
Yeah, as of right now, I got one pile of road base. And I'm making kind of two specs of road base down there, because some of it's, there's a lot of binder, a lot of clay in that, so I'm making some cleaner. And then the pile that we had there, that's what I'm making right now, is cleaner material. And in that pile, we have like 65,000, and the other pile's probably got 60,000.
Okay.
And I'll probably make, you know, once the temperature's about 30 degrees every day, you know, then, you know, we'll probably put another 60,000, so we'll have plenty.
Okay.
And I got pit run pushed up and stuff, so yeah, we're good there.
Good.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Well, Billy, I have, I guess a question in terms,
okay,
of follow up. We had discussed last fall, I don't know when it was, September maybe, about establishing or looking at criteria for new roads or requests for new roads. Have you had time to give that some thoughts, or what are your thoughts, or where do we stand, ideas?
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to Mike about that. You know, we got the Class 2 roads that, you know, we got a list, and we got a list of roads that are on, that are, were brought up to county specs. You know, they've been on there a long time. My criteria, you know, I'll do traffic counts on them, but some of them have been on there for 10, 12 years. I mean, so, you know, they were some of the first Class 2 roads done. I mean, there's a couple in Piney that were brought up that never, you know, we never took. My criteria is some of them that we wouldn't have to buy any more equipment, or that I'm plowing roads right next to, I think would be my highest, you know, ones, and you know, we can look at the dates. But I was, you know, I'll start doing traffic counts on them, and we can go from there.
Okay. Because the issue, like I said, it did come up before.
Mm-hmm.
I did have one call from an individual asking about that. I have the idea that we'll probably be hearing at least one request before we get to budget time.
Okay.
And perhaps this is a time that maybe you and Matt Gaffney could sit down to try to put something down in terms of that, those criteria with your concerns, that we might be able to use as a reference, or even consider adopting as a board so that when requests come in, my feeling is that if one or two individuals come forth with a request, we might be opening a floodgate for other requests. So in terms of being proactive, what I'd like to do is try to have that criteria developed so that we can measure any request and all requests against that in terms of moving forward. And I think you have the best ideas, the most experience that can be required, but I would like to have something that's a working tool that we, the commissioners, can use when we get the response for this. So no time frame on that, but if you and Matt could get together, I'm anticipating we're going to need something like that come budget time.
Okay.
Any comments from the commissioners?
I'll give it. That's good.
Okay.
And we'll put some together.
Okay. That's all I had. Commissioners, any questions for Bill?
Okay. All righty.
All right. Well,
thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
So Matt, are you available to come forward?
I am.
You ready? Even though we're early?
Say again?
Even though we're early?
Yes, absolutely. Good. Morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Morning, Matt.
Two items for your consideration today. The first was bidding out the phone upgrades in the courthouse. We received bids. I didn't do a ranking system, and I'll explain myself because I'm going to recommend that we reject both bids, and I've worked with Clayton over at the county attorney's office on this. The first bid was received by Business Phone Specialists. I would categorize it as non-responsive. They don't give a scope. They don't give a total project cost, so I don't think they even made a cursory attempt to respond to the RFP. So for that reason, I would recommend rejecting that bid outright. The second bid was received by WazzyTech. It did include a price and a scope, and the cost was $67,295.67. The concern with their bid submittal is that it probably is woefully inadequate to repair and upgrade the phone system. So while the number looks good, there's some real concern that it can be done for that amount. And so, and again, I've worked with Clayton on this. The thinking is we would recommend you reject both bids and we go out and rebid and hopefully cast a wider net and hopefully get more responses to the RFP. And that way it would be hopefully a better choice for you gentlemen to make in terms of moving forward with this project. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions about the bid submittals, the process in general, or just any general questions about the RFP process.
Okay. I think we have a gentleman here. If you
good morning, gentlemen.
Tell us your name.
I'm Dean Stutzman. I represent Business Phone Specialist. I'm out of Idaho Falls, Idaho. I didn't come up here for the lovely weather this morning. We did look at your RFP. We debated it for months as far as internally. It started out, hey, we need to upgrade the phones, and then it went more into the consultant position of, well, we want to bid, you know, we want this, we want that. There was no specific mentions of number of telephone sets, features you're looking for, dial tone providing, any cost savings provided, experience of the vendor, which we bring to the table. It was more, we thought it was more of a bid for a consultant to help draw up the RFP. Typically, when you stand on RFP, you list what you have, what you're looking for, the benefits, the features, and the cost. And that wasn't stated. We had zero knowledge on what we're looking for as per the RFP. We did come here. We did meet with the sheriff back in September, October, November. I got sort of a head count. I do have a copy of your phone bill that Carrie had provided us. We do have a lot of experience doing county phone systems, large phone systems. A lot of business here in the state of Wyoming. We're licensed and we're certified by the state. We've done multiple counties in Idaho, but once we come up with an exact count of what you're looking for, I can come up with a number as far as telephone systems, or telephone system, what you're looking for. Do you want the entire county? Do you want the two fairgrounds? Do you want the medical clinic? Do you want just the courthouse? That wasn't stated.
It was stated, sir. It said complete installation of county facilities. Okay. So, I mean, I agree. This was my first attempt at this sort of RFP. And if you had questions, specific questions about the scope of the project, you could have contacted me during the bidding process.
Right.
You did not. Okay. And so, it is very hard for me to make a recommendation to move forward when there's no, in fact, you even state in your submittal that we will respond to your RFP at an appropriate time.
Right.
Well, the appropriate time was during the bidding process. And so
you gave us nothing to work with as far as headcount.
It was a complete installation and upgrade in county facilities. So I guess we could quibble on the details in the RFP, but it was a pretty broad and expansive RFP that was released.
Okay. Did you want to SCN? Do you want to link both systems together?
So I don't have the technological background to be able to answer these sorts of detailed questions.
Okay.
But like I said, what you submitted, it's really hard for me to make a recommendation because there's really nothing, and you state in your response, we will respond at an appropriate time. Well,
right.
The appropriate time was during the bidding process, and so
we had very little to work with other than what we believed when we came here, the number of facilities that you have, and that was about it. That was even listed. Typical RFPs come with, we're looking for this feature, we're looking for that feature, the company must have this background.
The RFP stated if there are any questions or inquiries, call me.
Okay.
And so if you had questions about the scope of the project,
okay,
the time to call me was February, and I could have set up an appointment with our IT guy, and you could have had these questions answered and submitted a responsive RFP.
Okay, I do apologize for the misreading. We thought this was just the initial because it was so vague, so lacking information on our side, what we need to get an accurate bid to each location. I'd be happy to do that for you. I can get something the next week or so.
Gentlemen, let me just intervene here. I understand your reasoning, Matt, and I understand the gentleman over there in terms of not having or having some confusion in terms of not knowing what was requested. Would it be appropriate, and would it address both concerns, if we just submit or redo the RFP, at which time you would have an understanding and a chance to respond to that RFP, knowing specifically or very specifically what we're asking for?
Absolutely.
So I think if we, based on your recommendation, reject these RFPs, but at the same time give you that direction that we want to go back out with RFPs, and then if you need more specific data, I think we know what you're going to be needing and look forward to having another bid from you.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that's the, I guess, the option that I would recommend at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Please, absolutely, let us help you.
Okay, so I guess with that in mind, we need a motion to reject both of these RFPs for the phone system upgrade.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Now, Matt, you have the direction to go back and put out another round of RFPs, and hopefully you guys can have that communication and be able to put forward a bid, and we'll be looking forward to seeing that.
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Second item has to do with the centennial celebration. Clint Gilchrist and I put together both a public notice, an advertisement, and then a letter to the respective towns soliciting potential board members for this, what are we calling it, an exploratory committee. The exploratory committee will come first, and their job essentially is to define the role and hire a coordinator, and then to select a permanent centennial committee, which will be tasked with overseeing and planning all the centennial celebrations. So again, this is something that Mr. Gilchrist and I came up with. If you gentlemen have any concerns or edits, let me know. If you want to move forward with an advertisement, we can do so, but I just wanted to get the debate rolling and get the commission's input.
And what you're saying is you and Mr. Gilchrist have looked at this and you're satisfied with the advertisement as is?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Commissioners?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'm just curious when we're going to hire a Centennial Coordinator. What are we talking about in monies?
In terms of cost?
Yes.
I think that's something for the exploratory committee to develop in terms of how much time and how much money we're talking about. So I couldn't give you, I guess
I don't understand that. I didn't mean to catch you unawares. I'm just curious that we're going to hire somebody that probably there needs to be an amount out there that would be receptive to whoever you hire.
Absolutely.
Assume you hire.
Yes, yes. And I think that's something that Clint and I can work through. And I think that's one of the main tasks of the exploratory committee is defining the scope and the cost of this coordinator position.
And I think this is the first step that we discussed. We need to establish this exploratory committee. And what we're doing here is seeking out advertisement for interested applicants. And I think that we need to move forward with this because if not, we're just losing more time. And we gave the impression that we were going to take the lead on this and try to get this going. So I'm in favor of approving the advertisement as is and putting it out so that we can at least get the starting point of finding out applicants that are interested in helping us with this committee.
Mr. Chairman, may I speak to Clint?
Certainly.
Have you got any interest, and we haven't even advertised, but of course word of mouth throughout the county, that people that would like to be on this interim committee before you really get down to the finalization of either hiring somebody or moving forward quickly?
I have not heard from specific people.
Okay.
And I have not solicited from anybody.
Okay, I just wondered, you know, it's out there. What's going on? I just wondered if there was somebody that was really interested and wanted
There's
to be.
There's a lot of interest in general
okay.
in the project, but I'm not sure I've heard somebody specifically say I want to be on that committee.
Sure. Okay. Very good.
So do we have a motion to approve or proceed with this advertisement as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, all signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen. I'll make sure that's advertised and that the letters are sent to the respective town councils and mayors soliciting for committee members.
That'd be good. Then hopefully we'll have a flood of responses.
Okay, that was all I had for the commission. Do you gentlemen have anything for me?
Excuse me.
Commissioners? I can't think at this time, but reserve the right to ask a question.
Yeah. Later.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you,
sir.
Thank you, Matt.
I want Dennis in here. Can I go get him for this?
What?
This one. Is there anything?
We're not there yet.
Can I jump in the car?
Yeah, I think we got Shed first.
Oh, there's two different ones.
Okay. Yeah. I think that where's the visionary down there? It's not till.
It's next.
Yeah, but we're down on the list.
9:45.
9:45.
Yeah, right here.
Mine doesn't have a 9:45.
Right here. So they're next. Who's going to run Jim Dennis for us?
Which one is it? Yeah. See, I don't have a 9:45. You can. I think we need to wait. If Visionary is ready.
I'm here.
You're here. We'll get planted and zoned, and we'll, if you don't mind, since you're here, we'll just have you come early.
Works for me. I don't
Good. I go by. Okay, so the next item on our agenda is to have a discussion. Greeno, from Visionary Broadband. So Greg, if you'd like to come up at this time, we'd welcome you. And Dennis, would you like to come up as well?
Sure.
So we don't have to yell at you.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Greg Greeno. I'm with Visionary Broadband. We are internet supplier for the Valley here. We've been here for over 10 years now, supplying internet. And we have an issue that we're trying to deal with. And basically, just to give you a quick background, I mean, we're on Mount Airy right now, leasing from Mr. Rule. And with our equipment and the way that we transmit signal, there's a set frequency and a set spectrum that we can use to transmit this signal to individuals, houses, businesses, whatever. That spectrum is full. So consequently, our service to our existing customers is suffering. I mean, when we tell you you're supposed to have a 50 meg connection, most people are only running 30 because of the noise we're encountering on Mount Airy. What we would like to do and what we're proposing is we'd like to lease a small parcel from the county adjacent to the shooting range up here and build a 100-foot guide tower. Footprint of that would be 130 foot in diameter, basically. That would encompass the guy's anchor. We're looking to, basically, we have two different systems on Mount Airy. We have a license link that's basically sending signal to Mount Airy, and then we relay it to other places. That equipment would stay there. What we want to do is build a tower just for the Valley here to send out information or send out the signal. And it would cover from Cora almost all the way to Boulder with the tower. We don't have to be on top of Mount Airy. We looked at building another tower on top of Mount Airy. There is one spot left on Mount Airy to build a tower, but it doesn't alleviate our noise problem. It doesn't get us far enough away. So I've talked to Mr. Rule and explained our situation to him. He's not necessarily happy about it, but he understands the situation that we're in. We're not taking all our business away from him, but we're trying to improve our communication here in the Valley. Basically, we build a 100-foot guide tower. We could also build a self-supporting tower if we needed to eliminate the guys to make a smaller footprint. We could put a 100-foot guide tower up there that would be, the footprint would be less than 30 foot by 30 foot. We would run permanent power to it, you know, lease an easement from the county, lease the spot if it's possible. That's one of the reasons why I'm here, is to see if it's something that the county would be interested in doing to help with the internet here in the Valley. That pretty much sums up. If you guys got any questions for me?
I think I have questions for Dennis. Where, I don't, are we entering into new territory, so to speak, in that the county has first yet to set up a policy regarding leases? Do we have one? And the other is, the request is for a 100-foot tower. What are we, does the county currently, 60, so in order to go to 100, they would first, Visionary would first have to come to planning and zoning to get approval of a variance before we could even consider it. Is that, am I on the right track here?
You are on the right track. As far as county policy with the leasing or anything, I don't know that answer. I think we do have some other leases. Yeah, I'm not sure on that one. That's kind of not totally in my spectrum there. But as far as the communication towers and stuff, we're starting to work on that and really trying to get something in place for it. We do have towers that are taller than 60 foot within the county. All of those have had conditional use permits for them and stuff like that for the additional height. 100-foot tower would definitely fall in that. The guide tower versus the
self-supporting
tower, kind of here and there.
Yeah.
The one thing that I would really, or that we will be considering with all of our towers is safety zone maximum. If something, of course, in that location, it's we're next to BLM and lots of open space, but the other thing I want to look at is maximum failure, especially with a guide tower. You end up with the tower height plus the guys.
Your guys basically go out 80% of your tower height. So on an engineered design, your anchors will be 80% of the height of the tower. So, I mean, your danger zone on a 100-foot tower is basically 100 foot from the center of the tower point. And, of course, everything we build is either Sabre or Rome. It's all engineered, designed with PE stamp on it when it's put together and done, which would be submitted to the county. If we need to do a variance, you know, we initially put this together as a 100-foot tower, but it would make it easier. We can look and see if a 60-foot would actually give us the same benefit as a 100-foot at this point. That's something I'll have to look at. I'll have to do some past studies on it and see what I can come up with. But ideally, at this point, we would like to have a 100-foot.
Okay.
And we work with counties all over the state. I just spent last week in Cheyenne working with them, and we actually lease 6 tower sites from them down there. So
I guess the question is, and Kerry, I don't know if you know the answer to this. Do we currently have any leased tower sites in the county?
Not that I know of.
And I guess what I'm getting to, I think it's reasonable to consider, and a cliche we throw around a lot, or some do, is Pandora's box. But you know, I think what we would have to consider, if we're going to be doing this, is moving forward with future requests on that. And that's what I was referencing in terms of a policy with regards to that.
Yes.
So I think before we could give you an answer on that, it's something that we ought to be working with our county attorney on in terms of considering that, because if we approve one tower or one lease site for a tower, I'm sure we're going to get more. So I think we need to be proactive in that regard. And then the other part does go back to planning and zoning with being able to get a conditional use permit. So I think that's where we stand now. You know, this, it's informational for us. I think we'd like to, we realize the opportunity for improved services, which is what we greatly need. Mm-hmm. But I think you can appreciate that before moving forward, we got to do a little homework and try to figure that out and then get planning and zoning. I mean, even if we had the capability and had established our policy for leasing tower sites, the way it's currently, planning and zoning is currently written, you'd still have to go to them to get a conditional use permit.
Yeah, and we fully understand that. And the research that I've done, I came up with pretty much the same thing you guys were telling me. It's like you don't really have anything in place to address this, and we'd be more than happy to help. We, you know, right now, I think we have 386 tower sites in the state of Wyoming right now.
Okay.
And the business is continuing to grow. We all know that there's competition here in town between CenturyLink and the other wireless provider and ourselves. And we're not here to take business away from anybody, but we're here to make sure that our customers, and which not only includes, you know, schools, banks, everybody else, is getting the best service that we can get them. And I appreciate you guys' time this morning to listen to me on this, because it's something that I think this valley really needs. And one thing that will happen, because the other provider has been rumbling about wanting to build other towers here as well. If we pull off of Mount Airy, I doubt that he'll build another tower, because that means he'll have it all to himself. So because Mr. Rule was concerned about that, that he was going to lose both of us because we both wanted to go build a tower. And I said, well, not necessarily. So, yeah. And you're not going to have a flood of people wanting to build towers on you, I don't think. But it's, I've looked at BLM, I've looked at Mount Airy, I've looked all the way around the valley here and done past studies. And the simplest and the easiest with access to power and easement and access to the tower is actually this ridge right above the shooting range up here. And I put a GPS point on there, and that's just an arbitrary point that I picked. It could be anywhere along that ridge. You know, it doesn't, we can work through that process going forward. But that is a really nice location.
Okay.
And I guess just information point for you guys from our end, the stuff that I have looked at, as far as the tower safety and stuff, you guys all have requirements and engineered design standards that are out there currently. They are what we would adopt for our tower standards and stuff like that. As far as some of the extended heights and stuff on those towers, that is something that I think we need to consider going forward in the future. But with that, locating those in areas that doesn't, yeah, you get back to the nasty little view shed thingy, which is BS in my part a little bit, but there are places for those towers to be located and other places where they shouldn't be located.
And that was one of the reasons why I picked that up there, because it's above an industrial development. You know, the gun range is there. You already have towers above it. Don't want to mess up the aesthetics of the town, and I can remember, it's been several years ago, the actual city here was going through some growing pains as far as towers and trying to keep the aesthetics of the town. So in that respect, we don't actually have any, we have one small site here in town. The rest of our stuff is all outlying in the county, and we shoot back into the town, so we don't want to screw it up either. I mean, that's the main reason why I'm looking at this plan, at this site up here. So.
Commissioner Victor, you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Mr. Grinnell, I heard you say something about the coverage going clear to Boulder would be greater. What about going west and north?
We'll continue to have the links up on Mount Airy. So, and we're looking at that right now. I'm looking at that going up towards Daniel and that part of the world. We will, basically, we have two types of antennas on Mount Airy right now. We have dishes that receive and transmit signal to other points, like Rendezvous Ridge or Hog's Back or, you know, down by Farson. The antennas that we use for transmitting the signal coming into our customers are called sectors. And they look like the antennas on cell phone towers. They're narrow and long, but ours are only like 8 inches by 20 inches. That is the type of equipment that we'd want to put on the tower that we're proposing to build here. And we still have our links going. We're actually looking at a link right now going from Mount Airy to South Rim and looking down into Bondurant. So, and then back into Daniel and that part of the world too. So we will still have capability. This tower primarily is just for the function of the valley here. Because of the noise is so bad on top of Mount Airy right now. And we work together with other suppliers of internet in other parts of the world and say, okay, here's our spectrum. You take this part, you work with it, we'll take this part and work with it. And it's worked great everywhere else except for Western Wyoming. And the other provider that we compete against has filled the spectrum completely, and it leaves us with very little to work with. So
this comes down to co-location, whether you can or can't getting along with the neighbors up there, basically.
Yeah, and I'm not saying we don't get along. It's just the fact that there's a limited amount of, it's just like, building a fence, and you got one bundle of fence posts, and that's all you got to play with, and that's pretty much where we're at on the mountain up there right now. And so in order to maintain our service and keep it
to the standard that we want, we're proposing moving off of Mount Airy just to get away from the noise. Now, we can still transmit on the same spectrum that he is up there, but with all of our antennas in one spot doing this, it crosses over. Where I'm wanting to move this tower is about 3/4 of a mile away from, and that's enough room that the signals will separate and we can still go.
Okay, would this tower, is this just a visionary tower, or is this going to be set up to where it could be co-located?
At this point, it would be just a visionary tower. Now, we have towers in other places that we lease space to counties, municipalities, emergency services, fire department, law enforcement, ICE, and PBS. So we're not against having somebody co-locate on our towers, but we build the tower and design it to handle our equipment and what we plan on putting on it. Now, if we have to build a tower that we have somebody else co-locate on, then that changes the design aspect and the cost and everything going forward. So we're not against co-location, but our primary focus is to build it for us.
Well, okay.
Mr. Chairman,
yes,
I'm going to go through my list, and this is concerning this site. The power easement is a big issue. You're going to be involved with BLM, and that's going to involve.
There's power coming up that stays on the county.
It does come to the county gun club there, but that's a. So anyhow,
I believe
at some point you're going to be involving a federal agency in this.
Yep.
And the second one is Pandora's Box with county land. We're going to have to figure out how to establish that working parameter and access to the site for development. Mm-hmm. I know you can't get cement trucks and stuff up that from there to there. You're going to get cut back to the BLM. Co-location, which Dennis touched base on. And I can completely understand your frustration up there because there's a lot of unlicensed and licensed spectrum up there. Know what you're dealing with in the RF interference.
Yes.
And our goal here, at least my goal, and I think I can speak for everybody, is we are trying to enhance broadband in Sublette County. We've went above and beyond for the last 3 years. So we do want to help you.
Mm-hmm. We just got to have our I's dotted and T's crossed.
Dennis and I have been talking about this a bunch. Co-location is a big deal because we don't want a tower next to a tower. For example, up here on the hill, there's a cell phone tower next to a cell phone tower. They could have co-located.
Mm-hmm.
We've been bouncing this back and forth for a long time.
Yeah.
And we don't know how to develop this. So I think your input, and I know the other providers have also wanted to put input into this.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dennis needs to reach out and come up with a solution because... As you just said, this tower only incorporates the valley. We know that that's going to be more towers cause to get more to other regions.
And, and that's the one reason why I brought up is I you guys may have more tower requests within the county. As far as the valley here, unless there's another provider that comes in, right now you've got Union, LR, us, CenturyLink. Unless somebody brand new wants to come in, with Mount Airy, if we move off of that tower, that gives the existing person that's there full reign and he can do whatever he wants to at that point.
I understand.
With us moving to another location, that alleviates his request of wanting to build another tower. That's the reason why he's wanting to build another tower, is to get away from us. So we're taking the first step to try to alleviate that and move forward and broaden our horizon, I guess, basically here in the valley. So I'm not saying it isn't going to happen, but I understand you guys' concern too. So it's not, more than happy I'll leave cards with everybody and you guys can reach out. We'd be more than happy to help you go work through this process to get this done.
That's what it's going to boil down to, is all you providers are going to have to help us develop this direction for tower heights,
yep.
Locations, co-locations.
One of the things that I, and if I ask, if I can ask, why is the height limit at 60 feet?
Because the FCC ruling says you can add 20 more without question. So that puts at
The building restrictions that are currently on the county regs, the A1 district is the largest one, and you can have a 60-foot outbuilding.
Okay.
60-foot structure. So that is where it's been capped out, and that's what...
And we're always concerned about, you can add 20 without question.
Yes.
So we're trying to maintain, that makes it an 80-foot tower.
And at, with this towers being in their own little...
Yeah.
Their own little niche, you know... That 60-foot may or may not fit, but that's what we have presently.
Yeah, because the majority of the ones that we deal with are FAA,
correct.
Which is 150 feet.
Mm. Yep.
You know, so that's why I picked 100-foot. But it, I understand, and like I say, we're more than happy to help. I mean, this is not something that has to happen overnight. That's why I'm starting it now. I would like to do it sometime this summer. Mm-hmm. But starting the process now, and so we can work through it and hopefully come to a resolution.
Yeah, and as we go forward with these towers and stuff, I'd rather have one or two large towers someplace instead of six or eight little towers all over the place.
We need you providers to work together at co-location, and I know that creates separation issues. A taller tower.
Yes.
I mean, if we want you to co-locate, we're going to have to give you some leeway with a taller tower.
Yeah.
I understand, but I'd rather see one tall tower than... three short ones.
I agree.
And this brings up my thought exactly to Bargerville. The piece we just put the parking lot on is also another optimal spot for a tower, which I foresee coming. But we need to have this figured out.
Now, the one thing I will tell you is that as this goes forward and speeds increase on broadband, you're going to see more towers.
Mm-hmm.
Because as the speed increases, the distance that you can broadcast it decreases. So we picked this location to where we can run up to, I mean, anticipating 500 meg speeds and still cover the valley.
So the other part of this picture is you're dealing with broadband. We've all got wireless cell phones. So as they move closer to 5G, that takes more towers rather than less also.
It does.
So we're going to get a tower issue.
Well, you know...
We need to address Pandora's box.
Yeah, you know, and I was in Denver...
Dennis and I have been trying.
I was in Denver the other day, and I met with the Western Regional sales rep for Verizon. And a nice gentleman, and we were just having a chat. And basically, his summation was that 5G technology is going to put companies like mine out of business.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, that's all fine and good. Now, you mean to tell me you're going to invest $30 million or $40 million, because that's a projected cost to cover Wyoming with 5G, into a population base of less than 500,000 people?
You won't see it here because they don't have the business model to
support
it.
That's what he said, too. He goes, no, it's not going to happen. So, the rural, or the, I anticipate Union doing it, you know, in fact, they're already in the throes of doing it. And that's great. I mean, we love the competition.
Our goal is for you to work with Union.
Yeah, and we do.
And we actually do fiber.
We supply a lot of fiber and a lot of connectivity to Union at this point right now.
That was our intention.
And same way with T-Mobile, Sprint, Verizon. I mean... Visionary, you know, we just turned 25 years old this year. We actually own fiber from the West Coast all the way to down almost to Louisiana. We're investing in fiber in the state of Wyoming. We have two crews that run 5 days a week doing nothing but pulling fiber right now. We have had a really strong presence in the eastern part of the state and a good presence in the western. We're just now filling in the southern and moving up through the Bighorn Basin. So, I mean, Wyoming is our home state, our home business. We're expanding to make sure that we have. And then with some of the things that the governor's been doing this year and the federal money that's coming available, it's going to it's going to open up this market tremendously.
I'd like to see, Mr. Chairman, Dennis, Matt. I know Matt loves another good project.
Sorry?
I said I'd like to see Dennis and Matt work together with the providers to try and come up with a something for zoning, something solid that addresses towers.
Yeah, get out in front of it.
I mean, I know Union's offered to come in and help.
Mm-hmm.
You're now offering, so we're missing one other or two other providers. Well, I believe CenturyLink will show up.
I think we're still going to have the county attorney's office work with us in terms of developing some policy towards leasing.
And there is some good models out there with other counties.
And I'm sure our county attorneys will take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Ms. John, I have one question. We've heard the valley term. What encompasses, in your mind, the valley here? From where to where?
For this tower, basically, I'm looking at going from Cora to Boulder. Now, we have connectivity. We have towers. I'll just tell you where our towers are. We're on Mount Airy. We have one on a church out north, out here, on the Baptist Church. We have one on Tiger Juskowski's place, that direction. We have one on Crossfire Arena, Nichols' place. We have one at the Boulder Store. We have one we call Tower 351, which is out by Sandra. It's a tower that sits to the west of the interchange there. We're in Big Piney on the water towers there, and Marbleton. And we cover Marbleton and Big Piney there. We're on Hogsback. We're in Farson. And then Farson North White Mountain, White Mountain, and all the way down into Rock Springs. So I consider the valley from South Rim to Rock Springs, basically, but because we're trying to cover the whole thing through here. But this tower that I'm talking about here is basically from Cora to Boulder to help us, because we do have some dead spots right now that we can't reach in these valleys to the south, you know, and this would help us do that.
Mm-hmm. See, and I envision the valley is going west, young man, if you would. Because that's where I live.
and we are looking at that. I mean, we are looking at that. I took a drive. I was over here a couple weeks ago and took a drive up north and west. And this job that I do for Visionary, they created about 3 years ago. And that's what I do, is I drive around, I talk to people, listen to people. And if there's a need or a want, I go find a way to get it done. And Daniel, in that part of the world, is the next spot for us. I mean, it's just another spot in the progression that we try to build up one area, then we move to the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and we just keep going. So, I just need your address, and I can figure out a way to get there.
Come down 351, would you?
When you get to these conversations, I'd like you to discuss as a group licensed and unlicensed spectrum. I think that's important to my.
The licensed spectrum is not near as critical as the unlicensed.
No, it's the unlicensed that's causing a lot of your RF interference.
Yes.
And there's no control factors.
No. And that opens another Pandora's box.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I mean, that's why we look at the towers as. When we build one, it's ours.
Mm-hmm.
Then we don't have to deal with that. We're more than happy to let other people lease on that tower. Like I said, emergency services, municipalities, whatever they want to do for radio, for their information. But letting another provider on our tower is going to have to be a special circumstance for that to happen.
I understand.
Any more questions, comments?
I guess I only have one, and I guess it's just for my information. We own the property on top of Mount Airy. That's not the BLM?
No, the BLM owns that.
The BLM owns it.
Oh, he's talking about this new location.
Well, the new location is on private land, is on
our county
property, and that's above the gun range.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Well, thank you for your time, and thank you for the discussion. We got some direction moving forward with Dennis and also with the county attorney's office.
Gentlemen, thank you for your time.
Greg, thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you guys have any questions, you can reach me. Okay. I appreciate your time.
Chad, I think we're ready for you if you're ready for us.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, thanks for having me today.
Good morning.
How's everybody?
Good.
Oh. So, today I am here to talk about purchasing a new fire truck. In our approved budget, we put money away, or approved expenditure, to purchase a new tanker tender. That's a truck that carries 3,000 gallons of water to the fire. The reason why it's important is when a primary structure engine that has a pump on it responds to a fire, they generally only carry 1,000 gallons. In a rural fire, 1,000 gallons isn't going to be enough to put a fire out. So what we do is, in tandem, we send a second truck right behind the first truck, and the second truck's primary function is to carry that 3,000 gallons. So after we got the approved budget, I put together an apparatus committee that decided, you know, how big the truck should be, you know, what kind of features it should have. Reviewed several different options from numerous different manufacturers and came up with the final list of what features they want to include on the truck. What I did, though, is a little bit different this time. In the past, the previous trucks that we've purchased have all been purchased through a competitive bid process where we write requests for proposals, we distribute that to the major manufacturers and ask them to submit proposals back to us. In the past, I've had limited success receiving bids. If we get one bid, that's been a success. Two bids is an unusual occurrence, and so because of that, I've had concerns that the competitive bid process, the way it's been performed, is they're not jumping in front of each other to come to Sullivan County and provide our services to us to provide these fire trucks to us. So I reached out to my my other fire chiefs in the state and asked them, you know, what are you guys all doing? How are you addressing this? And one of the answers I got back is that the other fire chiefs in the state are frequently using a thing called a cooperative purchase agreement. And what a cooperative purchase agreement is that you join together with other public entities and cooperatively, you know, as a group, we go to a competitive bid process as a chiefs association or as a state of Wyoming or as a county government or any number of different governmental entities that participate in these cooperative group purchases. So then what I did is reached out to the manufacturers and said, okay, well, who do you do business with? The major cooperative group purchase organizations are called Sourcewell, HGAC, Fire Rescue GPO, and NASPO Value Point. After reaching out to each of those cooperative services and then narrowing down the choices to what we're looking for, they're all very, very similar to each other. They all charge about $2,000 to put together a cooperative competitively solicited contract with the major manufacturers. They do a procurement conducted for and on behalf of one or more public procurement agencies. In this case, it'd be the Western Fire Chiefs Association, and it conforms with state and national laws as defined by the American Bar Association, as well as with the state of Wyoming. The other thing I did is I met with Matt Gaffney to review my thought on. Using a cooperative purchase that's already been competitively bid through these group purchases. Matt and I discussed it, and Matt felt like this is something worthwhile to follow through with. And then I also met with the county attorney's office and met with Mike Crossan and Clayton Milinkovich and reviewed everything with them. And Clayton's here today, and after reviewing everything, no concerns from their part. So my recommendation to the board would be that we move forward using the competitive group purchase process, and that we purchase a truck that the apparatus committee has determined would meet the needs that they're looking for to haul water to structural fires.
Shad, you mentioned several companies involved with this cooperative group purchase. So do you have a plan to go with one of those, or is it something that you put out?
Yeah, so what I've done is contacted the manufacturer of the fire truck and said, who do you normally work with? And they say what they do is they have to competitively bid their products, and so far as each component of the fire truck, and what they do is for this particular fire truck, they've listed it with Sourcewell, okay, is the cooperative group. And based on that, I contacted Sourcewell, compared their product to the other products. They all charge the same amount. They all do the same thing. Sourcewell is a national cooperative group purchasing product, and they come highly recommended, and Wyoming fire chiefs have used them. I also contacted other governmental entities in the state of Wyoming, and I actually had Sourcewell send me a list of who they use in the state of Wyoming, and almost every county and every major city has used Sourcewell in the past, including Sublette County. And we have an account with them, and we have purchased through Sourcewell in the past. So that would be my recommendation, would be to use Sourcewell as our cooperative group purchase option.
And so, Clayton, you said, I mean, you and Shad have talked about this, but you've given the thumbs up to be able, or in terms of moving forward with a cooperative group purchase. Is that it?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The process to purchase through this way, there's not an issue with it in terms of legality or anything that way. If this seems to be the most economically feasible and prudent way to acquire this next apparatus that Shad and the committee need, by all means, we should proceed with doing it that way.
All right, thank you. And I think that's what you're telling us, Shad. This seems to be the most economically feasible way to go.
I believe so. And the reason being is that the manufacturers have already competitively bid, and they're competing against each other on a larger national pool in order to be listed with these cooperative purchase organizations. So they've already lowered their price in order to be listed through this cooperative purchase process. And that's the reason why there's a benefit to us.
Okay. So I guess what we need is a motion or to approve with respect to this tender for Shad to use the cooperative group purchase, specifically Sourcewell, to get a bid on this tender.
So I've got the bid right here with me. I've already taken the initial steps to put together the pricing. Here's the entire bid package of all the features of the truck, and I'm ready to present that today to you as well, if you're ready to accept that.
So what we need is to consider the bid.
Yes, sir. Okay. And the bid is it's listed on their website, and so it's already, in order to be on the cooperative purchase organization, their prices are already published and public information. So I've got it here with me, and I'm ready to present that to you when you're ready.
Go right ahead. Okay.
So what I've done is contacted Front Range Fire Apparatus. They are the Pierce manufacturer. Pierce is the primary manufacturer in America. They produce about two-thirds of the fire trucks that are built and produced in America. Pierce is the chosen manufacturer that we are looking to use to build this tender. What Pierce has done is put together a pricing proposal to us using the Sourcewell price. The nice thing that Pierce has done for us is based on previous experience with the last truck that we purchased, they're willing to give us a prepayment discount of $12,062 if we do 100% prepayment now. What we'll do is use a performance bond, just the same thing we did last time. You remember last time there was a $20,000 reduction. This time it's a less expensive fire truck, so it's a less expensive reduction. It's $12,000. On top of that, though, and this is pretty significant, Every year, the price of fire trucks go up about 4%. You can pretty well set your watch to it. It's just cost of inflation of fire trucks. That 4% cost increase usually occurs about the first of the year, in January, for most manufacturers. Because I've been working with Pierce, and because they're trying to earn our business, they are willing to extend last year's pricing to us. Under the assumption that we finalize all the contract details that need to be and submit a purchase order to them before the end of February, before the 29th of the month. If they do so, they'll give us last year's pricing. If we do it after the 29th of the month, they give us the new increased pricing, which would be an increased cost of $14,000. So really, they're giving us a $14,010 discount by providing us with last year's pricing. So those would be two discounts above and beyond, or that would be discounted off of the list price there that you see.
Yeah, the prepayment and the discount for the order received would total in excess of $26,000.
Yep, so the total price, I've done the math there for you if that helps you. Yeah. And then the nice thing is we budgeted for this truck, and this proposal price is less than what we budgeted for.
What was your budget about?
$450,000.
Okay, so you budgeted $450,000. If we do this as you presented, it's going to be just a little over $429,000.
Yes, sir.
Which will still be $21,000 under your budget.
Yes, sir.
So would somebody like to make a motion that we accept this bid? For the purchase of this tender?
If I may, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
In that motion, if a person was to make that motion, I would suggest that in the motion to grant signature authority on this contract to Shad, so then we don't have to worry about trying to get this done before the end of
the time frame. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is there some discussion prior to the motion?
It can be.
There can be.
Yeah.
Well, here I go again. So, I guess you need the water truck, that's fine, but one that pushes $500,000 when it's a 3,000-gallon tank, you can buy the very best vac truck with a 4,000-gallon tank on it for less than half of this. So I guess I don't understand why that can't be part of the consideration.
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead.
So we looked at two different manufacturers of vac trucks. Both manufacturers of vac trucks came in more expensive.
Okay. Now, I would guess, and I don't, just a guess, I don't know, but is a vac truck totally equivalent to this fire apparatus in terms of what all is going to be on there or needed, or equipment consistent with what you're using?
So we looked at the capacity of the vac trucks, the ability for pump and roll, the ability to create sufficient pressure, the ability to meet the national standards of the National Fire Protection Association and the ISO requirements. Based on that, there were specific criteria that required additional pumps above and beyond the standard vac truck pump that would create a pressure inside the vacuum. There's also an additional auxiliary pump that would be necessary, and because of that additional cost of the auxiliary pump, that's the reason why the cost of the vac truck was more. The other thing is because of the nature of the vac truck, the shape and design of the tank allows for less compartmentation, allows us to carry less equipment with us that would be necessary to fight a fire with. So really, we did seriously consider, the committee looked very closely at vac trucks as a possibility, and the committee decided that the dry side tender would better meet the needs of the committee and the features and design of a dry side tender was more in line with what the expectations of our fire service are to provide the service that I was talking about, hauling water to a fire.
So with respect to Commissioner Vickery's question or concern about the vac truck, what you're saying is that a vac truck properly brought up to standard to what you need is what increases the cost of the vac truck, and what you've reached out to two different companies to find out is those vac trucks are actually more expensive than this piece of equipment that you're presenting to us now?
Yeah, all things being equal, if a vac truck carries the additional tools and equipment to provide the same functionality that this truck has, then yes, it has to produce additional pumps and pump and roll capability to meet that.
And I don't mean to be combative. I just don't understand why a water truck basically has to cost almost $500,000 when we can buy them all day long for $200,000.
I guess what I'm hearing the chief say is there's a little bit difference between this and a water truck.
Yes, sir. From my short experience with the fire department, fire trucks have to meet all the federal standards, step heights, clearances, and a normal over-the-road water truck doesn't fall under any of those standards.
So,
and to bring it up to those standards, then you've surpassed the situation.
So, the standards to carry water have to be a certain standard, so to speak. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's why we're in this position, and I'm sure that's why we have a fire chief present this to us. And I think with the due diligence that's been done by you and your committee and the people looking at this, that's what the recommendation is. So we can have further discussion, but let's have a motion first, and then if there's further discussion, we can go on from there. So I guess the motion that I'm looking for is for the approval of the purchase of this fire apparatus in the amount of $429,119, with the stipulation that we agree to have a 100% prepayment, thereby saving us $12,062, and in addition, given the fire chief, the signatory authority to proceed with submitting this.
So move.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Would anybody like to have any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, my only question is in July, when we set the budget, if I'm not mistaken, you answered the question a little bit ago, you budgeted for this apparatus.
Yes, sir. Absolutely true.
Okay.
That's all I needed to know. Not only is it budgeted, it's also part of the fire chief's mission plan that he has established for years out in terms of building towards that capacity for the county in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yes, sir.
Any other comment? I guess I'll call for the vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries 3-1. And while we have them, I forgot to mention it. Again. Do you need a minute? Just for the record, I want to mention the fact that Commissioner Bousman is excused from this meeting today because he is still serving in Cheyenne working with the legislators. So I just want to make sure the record reflects that he has excused absence. Anything else for us, Shen?
I have nothing more.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Good. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for your support.
Okay.
Touch base on any of this and your successes in the last month?
Yeah, absolutely.
Keep us on track, right?
Sorry. I think it's worth hearing. Yeah. What Commissioner Noble has in front of him is our monthly summary report that we emailed to the board, summarizing the accomplishments of the fire department. I think specifically what you're asking about is two recent structure fires that we've had. Is that accurate?
Okay.
Our volunteers after the night of our annual banquet were dispatched about 2 o'clock in the morning to a working structure fire in Big Piney. The garage was fully involved when they arrived on scene. Firefighters did an excellent job of stopping the progress of the fire at the garage and prevented the attached garage from moving into the home. And furthermore, they took extraordinary effort to protect the home, put down salvage covers, and prevent and minimize any water damage in the home. I've got nothing but positive feedback, and I want to personally express my sincere appreciation to our volunteers for a tremendous effort that they put forth and a great save in a very difficult situation, very cold and frigid conditions, and I just couldn't be happier and more proud of our volunteer firefighters. In addition to that, less than 33 hours later, firefighters were dispatched to a second working structure fire. Both fires were chimney fires that extended from the chimney into the attic space. The second one was in Barger. Again, it was very difficult, very high wind conditions and cold and limited visibility. Firefighters got on scene and put forth tremendous effort to stop the fire from extending throughout the entire attic, and were actually able to successfully save that structure. And did a great job. It's a very long response time from Pinedale to Barger, and despite that extended response time, the firefighters arrived on scene quickly. Were able to assess the situation, put together a plan of attack, and stop the progress of the fire and minimize damage. And again, I need to give support and appreciation to our volunteers. Not only did they successfully stop any further property damage, but again, they put down a significant amount of salvage covers and tarps and prevented any water damage from the spraying of the nozzles from going to the second floor and also into the basement. But then after they were done, while our ladder truck was there, they actually worked with the homeowner and installed canvas tarps over the roof, because the fire had burned a hole through the roof. And so the firefighters had covered and tried to weatherproof the home to the best of their ability, so that the tenant could minimize damage from freezing damage or anything else. And so I couldn't be more happy with the response and the successful work of our volunteer firefighters. They've trained very, very hard for a number of years to be prepared for exactly these kind of emergencies, and not one but two different emergencies within 33 hours of each other. The firefighters just really exceeded my every expectation.
So I had a chance to run into one of the homeowners, and he couldn't say enough good about your cleanup and your courtesy towards the part of the house that wasn't damaged, and your care and concern to not causing any further damage. So he was elated by your performance and your crew and volunteers' performance.
I sincerely appreciate hearing that. I'll make sure to pass it on to
them. So good job, and I've expressed that to you and your crew. It just keeps us mindful of, the safety we have with not only your crew, your training, your dedication, and their efforts. Once again, it just validates that. So thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Anything else? Well, you have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody.
Hey, thanks, Shad.
Well, we're not getting ahead of ourselves today. I guess we'll move right along, because I think we have Darren here, don't we? Darren, if you'd like to come forward.
Morning.
Good morning.
Haven't seen you guys in a while.
No, it's been a while.
I guess this morning it was mostly just informational. I am going to put a political action committee together from the chamber to support the bed tax for the town, not the state. So that application is going to go in, and then it sounds like if things keep moving forward with the hospital, we're also going to submit an application for a political action committee to help with that extra get that extra mill. So just kind of get the chamber in support of those things that make sense.
The only thing I would say, as you know, is on the action committee relating to a hospital district, you certainly need to wait until that's what's come about.
I mean, yes, and we haven't submitted
forward. We're a long way from getting there, but
yeah.
Thanks for the heads up.
I figured rather than come back in when that comes, I've got them both the applications sitting on my desk ready to go, and the chamber, our goal is to step in where it makes sense, and that's one place where it does make sense, you know, to be able to support and try and help the community. And then I guess just off the top of my head, I wanted to thank you guys for your support last year with the Visitor Center. The 2019 statistics came in almost 20,000 visitors through the doors. And granted, not all those are organic visitors from out of town. I mean, different people use the Visitor Center, but it does get used quite heavily, to, you know. So I had those numbers sitting in front of me this morning, and I just wanted to let you know that that is getting used pretty heavily. So I appreciate it.
Thank you, Darren.
Yep, that's all I have.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Okay. Why don't we take a short 5-minute break, and we'll reconvene.
Here's these. Oh. You guys are ready to sign them.
Maxine, how nice to see you.
Right here.
Four sheets. No
standing. No, you got to switch.
Very careful.
Got to switch.
Yeah, that hurts.
There's a problem. It's the same company that I can't remember. Who is it? That company just built fire trucks. They have everything imaginable on them. Okay? Including a Class A pump. Do you know what a Class A pump is? I didn't until I found out. Do you know what a Class A pump is?
Go ahead.
Do you know what they do?
They pump water.
Exactly right.
Sorry, Doug. Let's hear what they
say. Oh, it's okay. I just wanted to say thanks for your support. Hospital stuff is
making progress.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm sure that differs from opinion to opinion.
Yeah, I haven't heard otherwise. I think that the clinic left feeling pretty good.
Did you go to gas for you?
I missed the second half. I didn't have anything.
Yeah, you did disappear.
Yeah, I had that.
It went good.
Good. No, just kind of the fingerprinting slowed down.
Records if you're having.
Yeah, there wasn't any at the end. It seemed to be more good.
But there's a possibility.
I don't know, everybody on the same page. There was a couple measures, one of the reasons they left from the Sublet Center. So.
Yeah. BOCES closes down on holidays as well.
Well, they were very gracious to let us in here.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can sense all over there, John. I was surprised he wasn't there.
Do you have the fire engine thing that I can take a picture of?
Yeah. Cool.
Let's take a picture.
Anyway, I just wanted to tell you guys that it's been a battle.
Well, I think the fire support, or the fire support, I mean the fire, I think the hospital support is going to be
crapshoot. That's what it is. It's a shit show.
Have you talked to
You're exactly right.
I tried calling her yesterday.
I've been texting because they're voting on our lodging taxes.
I think saner minds will
communicate with legislators in the five counties.
I think they're going to have, I'm talking about two sides, not three.
Oh, is it?
I think the issues
that are peak for the day.
The two districts.
Yeah,
so
because she's at that age where things can go downhill. I hate to see that for her. She was doing so good.
Whoever they are and whatever it happens, will be in that position to say, okay,
in my time that I've known her, she has.
I don't know where that's coming from.
Well, I appreciate everything she's throughout.
She has a really strong support system.
I know that when we was in Cheyenne, her name came up a little bit.
For someone to ask who we use, I'm like, Bernie Kraft? I'm like, oh yeah, she's awesome. So she's well known.
Oh yeah. She was
a little bit increase taxes.
Oh yeah.
I have Lisa Dalton, Stith, Lisa.
An income decline in the next year's life.
And, it's funny because I got Clark Stith, who was married to Lisa, and suddenly and they both have different views on everything. Like, what the hell are you both doing? You're just canceling out each other's votes. Did you quit?
It's true. They just took, their fight out in front of each other.
Yeah. Like, can you work together with Cindy and Tony, you guys?
There's a lot.
You weren't there yesterday.
Yes.
Huh?
You
I felt like I was getting too close.
Knowing full well, I'm sure you know.
Unfortunately, it put a lot of pressure on Robert. He
that could have happened. So, hopefully, the decisions of
everybody really appreciates him.
Take into account.
Keep telling him that. Because he is such an unbiased writer. Yeah.
We'll talk when
And I just have to realize that I have.
Yeah, and I think it'll help being a presidential.
I have a little bit in the game.
Way more people.
Way more people. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Holy shit, this might work.
My whole point is the subject center is a non-profit getting $700,000 in subsidies.
And stuff.
What? But that's not an issue.
Very you got too far. As you know, there's a couple divided members. The majorities.
Well, I do appreciate you guys' support.
All those other ideas have been coming from the assistance that's beyond staff. So I think they're. I saw a change of demeanor yesterday. They.
Time heals all wounds. We'll see how to take care of this one.
Yeah.
They're, you know, they're putting their leverage on it.
Sam Bixler came in.
That's over. That's the past. They're moving. We're moving. I can't say that enough. It's to me in the back workout session. Everything that conversation is in. We're moving forward with that. The one that you and I talked about in detail. That's a go.
Well,
so all we need is public support.
Okay. Well,
and,
I can help with
that. There's divisions of
you know you can.
I'm just saying.
Years after I'm gone, there's still going to be some.
You can't believe.
I think that's just the mentality.
I had a friend. I had a friend who was
small town politics.
You met her.
Yeah, I think that's correct.
She developed a severe infection. She was.
So we'll see. We'll see what the future is.
We're gonna have to bring your friends here.
Hello.
Oh,
yeah.
So,
yeah, it's like two weeks. Really?
You know, that is a problem yesterday because
I think what
breakout group went so well. It's going to be hard for Robert to trade that. You know what I mean?
A lot of
no, I know. So, I guess I just realized that.
No, he just put it down. He was so frustrated. He had
nobody wants to.
I mean, I was doing triage in the office yesterday.
Could be a little rough.
He was wrong,
or the other guy could be a little rough.
See, and that is so different from
this one way or no way. I mean, there's still that mentality around.
But he had complete meltdown. So he's like, I'm not even started until he's going to hear the 11 and hear 11 o'clock.
Anyway, well, I just wanted to let you guys know I appreciate it.
You're abused.
I am.
But he, and he'll cover the
first 15
minutes of the subway center. I like these.